This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Today's tip, the love and fear of Allah when it comes to submission.
Allah, 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 Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lahu.
So dear listeners, we're talking about the idea and the attribute and the aspect of submission when it comes to the spiritual wayfaring and our ubudiyah to Allah, our servitude to Allah, and our worship to Allah. This submission to Allah, this khushu and this humility and this tranquility, all of these things are a state of heart. And when the heart is in this state of submissiveness and humility and reverential love and reverential fear of Allah, then likewise the actions of an individual will reflect so. Now, when we were talking about the reverential fear that people have because they are aware of the manifestations of the Jalal and the glory of Allah, we find that one type of, or one specific prophet which had this great reverential fear of Allah was Prophet Yahya, or Prophet John, John the Baptist as is known in the English world. And he was well known for having this reverential fear of Allah. Now, to try to wrap up this attribute of ours, submission, we find that sometimes this submission is mixed with reverential love, and sometimes this submission is mixed with reverential fear. And it is interesting, Imam Khomeini writes in one place that, keep in mind, in every love, there is fear. And in every fear, there is love. And so, dear friends, the degrees and the states and the stages and the levels of submission are, of course, according to the degrees of the understanding of the greatness and the majesty and the beauty and the glory and the power of Allah. Now, Imam Khomeini, interestingly, who himself was a master of spiritual wayfaring. He was considered to be among the greatest of urafa, the Gnostics, Islamic Gnostics. He says that we are deprived of the light of visions. We have but to indulge in acquiring submission by means of knowledge and faith, iman. And so we conclude with a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, which is Suratul Mu'minun. It is chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2. Allah the Mighty, the Exalted says, successful indeed are the believers who are submissive in their salah.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Allah is the unique Arabic name for the one true God. He is the only one worthy of worship, with no rivals, equals, or partners. Allah is not like His creation, as nothing shares His divine essence and attributes, such as being the Creator, the Provider, the Most Merciful, the All-Powerful, the Most Just, the all-wise and the all-knowing. Allah is without partner or equal in His authority and actions. The world was created by Allah's command alone. He runs the world and controls it all alone. Muslims believe that Allah is one, indivisible, and unequal in His divinity and knowledge. He does not have any ancestors, nor does He have descendants, and He is without wife, partner, or offspring. None came before Him, and He is in no need of any angel, prophet, or saint. Of all the sins committed by His creation, none is greater than the act of shirk, which is the Arabic word for associating partners with Allah. In the Islamic tradition, Allah has 99 names, which include the most loving, the friend, the most kind, and the most powerful. Allah can be translated in English language as the one and only God.
IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parstoday.com.
Welcome back, dear friends. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we've been talking about in the program how one of the integral and necessary attributes of a spiritual wayfarer on this path of ubudiyyah to Allah and the servitude to Allah is this idea of submissiveness, of submission, of this reverential fear, this reverential love, this submissiveness and khushu, which comes about because we witness the beauties of Allah and we witness the creations of Allah and how each and every creation of Allah manifests the beauty of Allah, although never in its complete essence. Now it's interesting, but we find that the guardian and the wali, the authority of the Gnostics, of the Urafa, and the master of the Salikhs, the Sayyid of the spiritual wayfarers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. He probably alludes to this very point that we talked about previously, that there should be a healthy balance between the love of Allah and the fear of Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, sermon number 90, says, "Glory be to the One, Allah, whose compassion is vast for His friends, despite His severe revenge, and whose revenge is severe for His enemies, despite His vast compassion." And so, dear friends, there has to be a healthy balance of love of Allah and the fear of Allah. For example, if we fall so deeply in love with Allah that it leads us to commit sins, this love is of no use. And if we fear Allah to such a great extent where we become hopeless and we despair and we no longer believe in the mercy of Allah, then this fear will destroy our relationship with Allah. And so there must be a healthy balance between the love of Allah and the fear of Allah, and this results in creating khushu, creating submissiveness and submission in our salah, in our daily prayers. And as Imam Ali has said, Allah's compassion for His friends is great, despite the fact that he can have severe revenge. And on the other hand, Allah's revenge is so severe for his enemies, even though he has great compassion, love, and fear when it comes to the submissiveness of an individual in their ubudiyyah to Allah.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
أجب دعائي يا رجائي بالرضا والخير أنر طريقي مع صديقي باحترام الغير
And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
So shirk is the reverse side of tawheed. Now, the literal sense of the term shirk may suggest that one has to be conscious of associating others with God in order to be guilty of it. How can I give a partner to someone if I do not know the someone? Well, that's actually true. And that's why the Quran says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Do not associate God once you know. And that's why a person who's in that state without knowledge is forgiven. But once it's been explained to you, then after that, you're taken to account for your knowledge. And that's why the Prophet, in hidden shirk, he taught us to say, Allahumma inni a'udu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from associating with you, and I'm aware of it. And I ask forgiveness for that which I'm not aware of. Because there are subtle things that what the modern psychologists call the subconscious mind. The Muslims understood this. The Quran says, وَلَكِنُّهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They're not conscious of it. They're doing it. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا يُخَادِعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ They attempt to deceive God and those who believe, but they only succeed in deceiving themselves. But they're unaware. And that unawareness, the modern Arabic word for the subconscious is la sha'ur, which is exactly the way Allah describes the state of the hypocrite, is that he's not aware. Now the thing about la sha'ur, the subconscious, is there's an understanding in the Islamic tradition that in a truly deep sense you are aware. And it's not an excuse. And that's why the Quran says in the next world people will say, لَوْ كُنَّ نَسْمَعُ وَنَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّ فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ فَاَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ Would we have only listened and comprehended what was being said to us, we wouldn't have ended up in this wretched place. And then Allah says, they finally admit they're wrong. So these defense mechanisms of projection and denial and all these things that human beings do are essentially, according to the Islamic understanding, they're still responsible for them. And the reason for that is because this power that Allah has given us is just too vast and too enormous. And if you don't make use of it, then only you have yourself to blame. All the tools were given you. So it's like somebody who's given a plot of land. They have the cow, they have the plow, and they just sit there and just watch it. And then when harvest time comes, everybody else is harvesting and they're saying, nothing grew. Well, you had the seed, you had the plow, you had the cow, why didn't you do anything? Oh, you mean I should have done something? Rumi has a poem about the Day of Judgment. He said, on that day, you'll come with your head bowed and you'll look at the prophets and you'll say, get me out of this mess. The mud of my life, because I'm mired in the mud of my life. And he said, those kings on that day, those noble prophets will say, you left the plow in the middle of the field, and now you want us to harvest for you? You had all that time, you had all that energy, you had all that So there's a belief in Islam that Tawheed is from the fitrah of human. It's something we deeply know. It's our inherent nature to know. And that is why children will completely accept the understanding. They'll just completely accept it. They'll accept Tawheed. It just makes perfect sense to them.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ya fuadi da'asi wallah fawid al-amra lillahi lillah qul wa nadi hasbi Allah. Layla hasiwa.